Wilson's part two.
Yeah.
My cousin, Kendall Martins, came down from Inman and brought a crew.
A crew, an army.
So I didn't get to see it, but what all did they have?
Hulk, big, long, gooseneck, flatbed, gears, and materials and all that, and I don't know, there was five or six of them rigs like that. When Dave first told me, I was like, yeah, okay, yeah, we'll meet there at the Brown House or whatever, and I was running late because whatever, and I come there, and I mean, four-wheelers and skid steers and all this equipment and these big flatbeds and everything, and I was just like, wow.
Did they tear out all your fence?
And well, a lot of it, yeah. Uh-huh. You guys didn't
know. Yeah, they tore out ours.
I said, let's just go north where we're calm in there and start there and kind of went from there. Well, they had, and then they got that done so fast it seemed like I couldn't keep up with them to what they needed to do. You know,
do soft ends and tore it out.
Yeah, they just like stuff you'd work years on, they'd be doing 2 hours.
Yep.
And so we sent a crew over there by mom and dad's house to like kind of bulldoze all those trees into a pile because all that was falling down and was blocking the roads.
Right.
So they did that, and I was getting them water and a lot of water. Nail aprons and just stuff they needed, snacks, and directing traffic, basically. I was just a traffic cop, pretty much.
And they did that all in one day?
Yeah.
They came early in the morning to work on.
I mean, they...
I unfortunately had to work that weekend that they came, and I wasn't able to be a part of it.
They got all you guys' stuff rolled up and all the stuff in line on the north half in one day and pushed all the timber in a pile in one day.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
How many people?
It was like 30.
How much is there?
45? I don't know.
There was at least that many people.
Yeah.
That I was like, well, wow.
Worked well, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my. So, if you think back about it, you've seen grass fires before, and you've seen how they burned and everything. Do you have any comparisons of how this was like those? I mean, anything similar?
Not really, because when I was younger, I was with the volunteer fire department, and it was just mainly small little fires. It wasn't seem fun back then. I wasn't really scared of fire. It was kind of naive, obviously. I thought that was kind of fun, you know? This deal's changed my mind about that completely.
So have you had more of a, okay, we know you had physical loss and you've had financial loss. What about an emotional loss?
We're still working through that.
Yeah.
This is kind of hard.
Yeah.
Even the anniversary date.
And when they had that fire the day before, I just got Chris and Jessica's and I were out there to help them. When we left, I was bawling. It's like, this is what do we got to do? I mean, this is, can't handle this. Our community can't handle this. This is too much.
It was at school this week, this week's fire. I was like, God, please do not make this happen again. Please do not make me go through this again. And they were like, well, I was like, we obviously can get through this. We have before, but I just didn't want to deal with it. I saw the fire, and Mr. Stebbins, he's like, not the chief, but
he's an assistant chief.
Yes. And I knew something was bad because he only goes if they need it, like for extraordinary measures. He will leave school. And I remember same time, basically the same day, because the fire happened on a Monday, but the 6th was this Tuesday. And I was same exact hour, and I remember looking out the windows, same door I looked out last year. And I looked, and I was like, oh, my goodness, I said, not again. And I turned around and all of my friends were just looking at me like they just had the same feeling. And I didn't talk. They were like, is it okay? Are you okay? And I said, I can't talk. I went straight to class. And I stopped and I saw Mr. Stebbins. He had his laptop, his coffee cup, his every paperwork. And he's, Mr. Wettick happened to be by the door and he's like, could you open the door because I got to go now? And I was like, oh my goodness.
Did they keep you apprised of the fire? Did you know that the fire was out pretty early, or they had it pretty well contained? Did they let you know that?
Yes, they told us. It
kind of kept you informed.
Yeah, they told us every update.
They did?
Yes.
Good. Well, it was kind of the high school.
It was kind of weird this year because this time I was the one gone. I was
she was gone.
This year I was gone on a forensics drama trip. We went up to Sterling, and so I was gone, and so we didn't hear, and it was like in the middle, they were doing a play, was being put on, and you could tell Miss Lawlicker, who was our proctor sponsor, she was nervous because she kept like getting up, and then I remember she was had her phone, and she's like, hey, I don't have Deb's number, my phone's not working right now, would you text Deb? And it was specifically, is everything okay? And it was like really, really short, just in a way that's like, oh, I wonder if everything's like, I'm thinking that since she was the other driver, like everything's okay with the buses and everything, something might have gone wrong. And then you look on Snapchat and there's like, there's another fire. And I'm just like, what the heck is going on? And then you go back through and then we go back and then I ask Miss Walker's like, is everything okay? And then, or she asks Deb, and then Deb sends back the text. It's like, it's all good. Like, we're all good. So I knew, like, from the time that I found out about that fire to the time that I found out it was okay was less than 5 minutes, but it was still just that gut-wrenching, this just like, it's happening again. Like,
same
time, same day. It's happening
deja
again.
Deja vu. Huh?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, deja vu.
I went to class and I said, ugh, Charlie's gone. She's the one that keeps us together. She's like the mom when mom's not there. So that she's the one I go to. And then they had the scholars will meet in Eagles that same day. And I never remember if Celia's on the team or not. So I ran up to Griffin, her friend, and I was like, is Celia on the scholars will team? Please tell me she is not, because I cannot do this alone. And I don't want to do this alone. So she has to be here. She's like, she's not. She's right there. And I was like, okay. Thank goodness it didn't happen again, because I don't know what I would have done with just Celia and me and Charlie.
Yeah,
I think the biggest thing everybody could take from this fire deal is it affects everybody really deeply, because there's nothing left.
Right.
Like if you have a tornado go through, if you have a drought, if you have a windstorm, whatever happens here, there's stuff. Fire people want to sift through the ashes. I don't want to do that. You might find something, but it's still ruined. And I think that lingers with you. I know it did me. I mean, you went through it. You're going to get over it, but you're never going to forget it.
You get a little anxious every time the fire whistle goes off, or we get like high wind.
Mm-hmm. Whenever we were, it was my fourth hour right after lunch, and we were in the middle of class, and I just started hearing the
sirens of the fire trucks.
I thought it was an ambulance because I only heard one at first, and then it's like I heard another one, and I was like, not an ambulance, that's a fire. Oh. And I was okay with it at first, and then I heard like five more, and I was like, I swear if I hear another one, I'm going to bawl, because I did not want this to happen again, and I couldn't go through it again, because we had a lot of homework that was due on Thursday, and we had to do a lot of things.
Because this is finals week.
Yes,
before
that's
the
true.
9 weeks.
So, can you perceive of anything positive that came from the fire last year?
All the help.
There's
so much.
Yeah, the donations, like.
I'm saying
my clothes,
your new appreciation for human kindness. That's the biggest one.
You can't do
100% without a doubt, not even close.
Yeah.
And the effort that the firefighters and emergency people put forth, I mean, just incredible.
Yeah. The show of God's work, and that you can't go through anything like that and not feel like God is with you, because He always is, and He is the one that protected us through that, and it shows you that He is always with you, and that everything goes in what He wants to happen to you happens, and it will always be for the better, even if it may not feel like it, and you just have to learn from it and move on, and you have to always see the brightness in it, because if you don't see the good in anything, then you just will just sit there. You won't move on. You wouldn't want to do anything. You just, the only way we got through this is looking on the bright side of everything. You can't just look back and say, oh, well, we used to have this, or oh, well, well, this happened to us, so why should we move on? Because what happens if this happens again? You can.
I did that, I don't know how many times, and Shiloh was like, so you gotta stop looking back and just start looking forward.
She'd just say, I don't like this, why can't we just, why did God do this to us? And then you can't think of it that way, so that you're always gonna be sad, you're gonna be mad.
I was mad at the world.
There's nothing you could have done.
No. Yeah. It's brought us closer.
Yeah, that's for sure.
That's another awesome thing.
Close as living in the camper, because I could have not ever done that. 6 days was long enough.
So, you were able to save some stuff because you were a little bit proactive there. But is there something that you miss? The house. Anything?
Innocence.
Yeah.
That's all it is. Because it changes you inside. I wanted to just be naive and innocent and not have to worry about that kind of stuff. And now, like, obviously you can tell you have that anxiety all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish I could, like, walk around. I mean, I can now, but, like, I used to be able to walk around the house. I, like, got up out of bed in the morning, and I didn't open my eyes. I just walked to the bathroom. I didn't open my eyes.
And it was pitch black in our house, too, and you had to go down very, very, very steep stairs. The thing I miss is going down a flight of stairs that are steep, and now I'm, like, tripping over myself. When I used to run down these stairs and not... We didn't have a railing. You'd just run down the stairs.
It was an elephant when she came down.
Yeah, they were very old and creaky. And I'm pretty sure they woke up every morning because of me going down the stairs. Or slamming on the cabinet.
Or the microwave.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So talk about the music that you found.
Well, it was the day after. And I had gone back... with
Chris.
And we all saw the house at different times. It was weird. But kind of at that point, I was with Chris, and then slowly different people started coming. Jessica was there. Somebody else, I can't remember who. I think Celia, you were there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember if you were there or not?
No, I
was. Somebody was there, but it was... Jessica had stopped by. Jessica was with somebody. I can't remember who. Chris, I was with Chris. And he's like, can we stop? Because I want to look at it. And so we went. And I was going. And we came back a separate time. And I was going to go and get my car because we needed to bring my car in town because it was still okay. And I was going to drive Chris's vehicle and he was going to check that his vehicle was okay. But we didn't know since his looked like it gotten hit. So we're going and I was going to go and get whichever vehicle was still there and was good enough that I was still able to drive. And so I went and I started to pull out and then I opened my car door, and then the wind was still kind of blowing. And as I stepped out, I stepped on this piece of paper. And I was thinking, what the heck is this piece of paper doing here? I went and looked at this house already, and all of my books are completely burned. I can see the stacks of where they were. Oh, and I touched them, and they just crumbled. Why is there one piece of paper left? What the heck? And so I go, and I pick it up. And we sing at our church, and we keep a hymnal at our house. So if we need to, we can practice. And we used to have our piano there, but we've moved it up to the other house. And so I picked it up, and it was a piece of paper from a hymnal. And it was almost perfect. All that was gone was the very edges of the paper. You could read every single word on that paper. You could even make out the page number that it was on. And you just go and you look and you think, everything in this house is gone. Like, literally, even the jewelry, the metal stuff that we had is twisted and almost unrecognizable. And you end up with one piece of paper that's perfect, except for the very edges are singed. And we look and we read the words. And on one side, it was, come ye sinners, poor and needy. And the other was, come, let us reason together. And it was just a God moment right there. Because it was right there, just like, come, poor, needy, we just lost our house. We just lost everything that we had except for the things that we're like, oh, we'll just put this in the Suburban and go. No, we lost everything except for that. And you come up with this one piece of paper that's perfect, that's just calling us to God.
Yeah.
And this other that says, let us reason together. It's just like calling us to be together as a family, whether that's our small family, whether that's our church family, whether that's our community, that everyone came together.
Mm-hmm.
And That was my God moment for ours. Was we go, and you end up with this piece of paper that was perfect.
So did you sing those songs?
We did.
We did. The next Sunday at church, that was the normal Sunday, that we'd never had everyone there, we go and we sing those two hymns. And one I really liked. It was like 1700s?
Yeah.
It was like a 1700s hymn that you would never ever think about singing.
Yeah.
Otherwise.
It's like forgotten about.
Yeah. And it was just, you sing it, and it was uplifting, and you felt good. And the come let us reason together was, it just felt like God was there. He was with us. We had a family and people around us to take care of us.
Mm-hmm.
Even with the loss that we just suffered, we have everyone around us that is a family and that God is watching over us.
Right. So where did the idea to put the cross up come from and what to make it out of?
Well,
yeah. You know, Charlie said, something like that happens to you, do some deep thinking. We're in church, and I was having a rough moment. Just wasn't really listening to the sermon much. I was just kind of
in your own thoughts,
melancholy.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad's funeral was in that church, and Today and I got buried in that church. Good things happening there. Wasn't a very good thing at this point. Yeah. Sitting there looking for something. Kind of like Charlie said, I looked up and there's that big cross on the wall there, and I looked at the light behind it, and just, I don't know, something just kept drawing me to look at it. And I kept thinking, actually, I felt a little of guilt because I just couldn't believe how the outpouring of everybody, and I thought to myself, well, if someone like that was somebody else, would I have done that? You know, I'm feeling guilt, like, golly, I mean, I need to get, rethink myself and do better things. And I don't know, I just felt like I had to do something to show appreciation for all the things that everybody had done. And I just, you know, you see the thorns wrapped around Jesus' head or stuff, and I thought, you know, a lot of burnt up tea posts and carbon fire. I don't know. With the Mount Jesus cross, they were talking about burnt. And
right.
I just thought, maybe we could put something on the place somewhere. And I didn't really think it would be quite that big at the time, but I thought we could do something.
Yeah.
And then it kind of morphed into that.
So how long did it take you to put it together?
Well, Jesse came down and
my brother
talked about it. I don't know how I got that big. Just did.
Yeah.
We told him the idea.
Yeah.
I remember he told me
first. Just start welding pieces together.
Yeah. Yeah. Matt told me first, and I was right after church, and he's like, Shylin, I have a great idea. And I was like, what? And he's like, we have T-posts. We're going to make a cross, and it's going to be humongous. And I said, what? And he's like, we're going to weld T-posts together. We're going to get rebar or something, make a huge cross and wrap it around
with the
burn-up barbed wire and bam, put right there on the highway. And I was like, that is... He thought it through the whole sort of
thing.
He was just sitting there and he'd like tap his foot like he is right now, just like doing that. I was like, what is going on in his head? And he told me, I was like, I knew it was something. I knew he was up to something.
I don't do stuff like that very often. I should do more stuff like that more often. Not that, but just giving back. And
yeah.
I don't know if we give it back, but maybe we give somebody a little bit of inspiration when they drive by. And
right.
I don't know what that's worth, but I bet it's worth something.
Originally, when we talked about it, when he told me his idea, we talked like we were going to try and commemorate where the Brown House was and put it there.
Cheesy.
And
that would have lost the effect.
Yeah. So we kind of sat on it for a little bit, and then Matt was like, hey, you know,
let's put it up
where people can see it. Put it up on the hill.
Because it probably wasn't going to be about the height of that door at first. And then, very first.
Yeah.
It looked like a T-post or a telephone line. I was like, it's got to be big. It's got to be big for people to notice it. Because T-post looked like something from our fence. And I said, it's got to be big. Like,
yeah,
turned out. It is big.
Mm-hmm. Pretty cool.
So, can you do or have you done anything to prepare for another fire or another emergency? Have you made plans as like what you'd take or what, where you'd go, or how, what things you would do different?
We haven't really, because we don't have a house out there again, but. Are you talking about like in the rural setting or just fire?
Anywhere. Because even in town, we were asked to evacuate. And some people took their dog and the dog food. They didn't take their medicine. They didn't take their drug, you know.
Yeah.
And then there were other people that took a lot of stuff.
We probably have not focused as much as we should on that.
Yeah.
Just because we've been so focused on trying to pick up the pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in my head, I just thought once we get to where we're going to live again, we'll definitely have more fire extinguishers and
sprinkler system.
Yes.
Maybe some kind of barrier around the house. I don't know.
Yeah, we have talked like we're not probably going to have like grass all the way up around the house. We're going to have rock. Like
gravel. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. That would be something I'd probably have to talk with your brother about. Because I mean, really,
it's true.
Dude.
Yeah.
I mean, we had a pretty good plan, really.
But it was messed up because it was during, it was on a Monday.
We've thought about purchasing a, you know, water tank pressure unit that's readily ready to go.
Yeah. We are putting a safe room in our new house in the basement that's like concrete sided.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Not fire. Do not go in your basement during a fire.
Die from smoke.
Yeah. But I mean, just
be prepared for anything.
Prepared for anything like that. I mean, I know, like, there were some things that, you know, I grabbed photos and photo albums and, like,
I did. Putting that on the cloud.
Right.
Know,
yeah.
Scanning all that, put it on the cloud.
Still have yet to do that.
Yeah. I was not able to grab my baby book and Shailene's baby book. So those things were lost.
Yeah.
But I was able to get Celia's and Charlie's and Matt's and different photo albums that he had from his family and pictures that
Our family had pictures that we didn't even know existed that come out of the work. So in a way, it's kind of a, you've lost, but you've gained too. They start digging through their stuff. Oh, yeah, this and that, you know.
Yeah.
Feels like it's stuff.
Yeah. On the preparedness side, honestly, the fires made me realize how much you don't need. Like, I'm so glad we grabbed all the pictures and the documents that we did. But, like, clothes-wise, things like that, honestly,
that stuff goes out of style.
It does.
If you end up not wearing it, just keep it in your closet. You shouldn't pass it along. Mm-hmm.
Yep. I think
that's true.
On the being prepared, I might have something like ready to go sooner, but I feel like when we were at the house, we already had a lot of that stuff in one area just for being prepared for tornadoes or other natural disasters that we had gotten. We had most of that stuff all in one place, and it was just kind of misplaced because your birth certificate was needed for something else, which is why yours wasn't in the normal place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And did you even find it?
Uh-uh.
No.
We had
yours was for like a passport.
Smoke detectors in all the rooms and a couple of fire extinguishers, because when they were young, because we had that junky furnace that heated the house. I was so scared that thing was going to light the place on fire. I wasn't worried about a grass fire, I was worried about a
structure fire. Yeah.
I blew up the.
I really didn't even think about the grass fire, to be quite honest.
Yep.
Because just, I mean, yeah, there'd be one here or there, but not to that.
They'd always been able to stop it, right?
And I don't know that I would have done anything different so much as just remembered those couple things that I wanted to grab that we didn't. Like, I think the only thing that I wish we had ended up grabbing was Mama's wedding dress, because I wanted to wear that. Because I remember trying it on one time. I remember trying it on right when she, like, the right after she got her wedding dress back from Matt's marriage. She had her other one, and I wanted to wear that one for that. And I think that's the only thing that I wish, like, all my books, honestly, I can put on ebook, or all of my other stuff. Like, all my other stuff I can replace. But the stuff that I grabbed, like, I grabbed my grandma's Bible, and I grabbed my Bible, and I grabbed the pictures that we had. Like, that's the only thing I wish we would have thought of. Mm-hmm. And preparedness-wise, I don't think I think being prepared for, like, tornadoes made us more prepared for the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what about the community? How can they prepare? Have we prepared?
Oh, wow. They are. I know.
They knew. But I know some people.
I mean, everybody went into beast mode on that deal.
Listening to the people at my school and what I have gone through, I try my best to tell them what they should grab, which I don't know what they find what they would, they would consider. Because I know all of the kids in my class, when the Starbucks fire happened, they said, well, I grabbed some clothes, a pair of clothes, and I didn't grab anything, a phone charger, and that's it. And I said, and it kind of just makes me sick that they could have lost everything. See, we had gone through tornado drills, so Matt and Mom would tell us you need to get anything you would ever want, and I think that...
You didn't want to live with that.
It's like clothes are okay. Those were always the last priority.
So I would say make sure you have... I wish we still had pictures of our house, because we don't. I would say take pictures of your house or take a video of your house.
Yeah, for insurance purposes.
Or just to look back on. Mm-hmm.
You need to make a list of your big items, because that can help a lot. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff you can do.
Yeah.
And to be quite honest, some of that stuff we're going to do better, but...
So are you on the IRIS?
Yes, I am on IRIS.
IRIS?
Mm-hmm. And the red alerts.
The weather alerts and stuff like that. And you all have a plan, because you are in different areas of the town and the county and two counties, actually. Mm-hmm. Do you have a place to meet, or do you have a phone type thing? You called Grandma.
Find Your Friends. It's an app on a phone through Apple. Uh-huh. And some people think it's creepy because you're trying to snoop on everybody's app. Well, we know it actually is nice, because
it's very helpful.
Know where everybody's at all the time. You can slip on your phone and see.
Right. But honestly, since the fire, we haven't really talked about
anything.
If we get separated again.
Fire hybrid.
Yeah. It's like, Shailen, we're driving back. This is something, but like on the new house, she's like, have you thought about colors for our walls? And I'm like, no.
Think about that.
Not even thought about that.
I do, because I think about everything.
It's that same analogy where it's like, there's certain things that you should be thinking and considering, but you're so worried about trying to get all this other stuff organized and done.
I think we're going to get moved into the new home. We'll definitely refocus on a lot of those things.
Right.
For sure.
I think on advice I'd give my friends on if they'd want to prepare for losing something like that,
digitize
your stuff, but mm-hmm. also any of your big items that you like, I think honestly, for me, the worst part about recovering was making that insurance list.
Ugh.
That insurance list was the worst. I hated that.
They have to do it.
They have to do it. And I can understand why. But making that list sucks. So if you can make a list as you get things, mm-hmm. it would help so much more. And then you wouldn't have to go through and try and think about, oh, did we have this, or what version of this?
Or remember it.
Remember.
That was depressing.
Go around and look at each room in your mind.
Yes.
And you had to think, and just you knowing exactly where everything was, it just makes you it feels like you're walking through your house again, but you're not.
And then you open your eyes.
You don't think about till you need it later.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're hit with that moment of,
and it's right here in
this
drawer.
And you're like, oh, it's not here.
Nope. Yeah. Not there anymore. I don't have it anymore.
Or even your friends and family, hey, can I borrow something?
You're like, oh, yeah.
You're like, yeah, oh, funny. What do you mean? Nope. He goes, duh, or duh.
Yeah. I remember I was getting prepared for homecoming right afterward, state basketball. And then the next homecoming we had the next year, so the football homecoming for this year. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, oh, yeah, I have this and this for these days. Like, wait, no, I don't. Never mind. We'll look for something else. It's kind of disappointing, because you go back and you're just like, oh, you think you're okay with things. And then you go back and you're just like, wait, no. It's not there.
So that week of the fire was actually the state tournament, basketball tournament that the boys. So after the fire,
it was
how important was that game?
Very.
Or was it still important to have
state
everybody get together?
The mm-hmm. sub-state that we went to.
No, Wallace. You played Wallace.
No, it was state.
It was state.
Mm-hmm. Because we went to Rolla. And then we came home, the fire happened. And then the next weekend after the fire, it was...
It was a game on Thursday night.
Because we were, it was
and
during
you were playing Wallace Springs. County.
Playing Wallace. Or, no, Sharon Springs.
No, yeah.
Which is Wallace County.
And that game was difficult. I knew it was heartbreaking because I feel like the boys felt like they had to win for the town, which, I mean, it didn't.
I can understand. I think it was important because we need to think about something else for just a little bit. Because the entire town is so focused on recovering. Because it's only 2 days, 3 days
after. No, they were still burning on Thursday.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, things were still burning. Really.
It was... I wish they would have postponed it because half of our boys were farmers. And or Luke Reimer.
Or
he
ranchers.
He had to stop in Mineola so he could get fluids. He had IV fluids, like, 2 hours before his game. And he played... Now he's like in like one of the top players for football and almost basketball in Nebraska, and he was getting IV fluids. He didn't even ride the bus. His brother had to pick him up and drive him to the game, and he was almost missed it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was sick.
I think on some levels it was important for some people to just kind of get out of their head, especially a lot of the high school students.
Yeah.
But on others it was too soon for what happened. Like,
yeah.
I know for a lot of the people that were, like, directly affected that lost houses, lost cattle, like, it was an either-or thing. It was either a good thing to get out of it just for a little bit and kind of get up to Dodge where there wasn't a lot of scene damage. Like, it was able to, like, kind of leave the atmosphere for just a little bit. And others, it was just like, I can't leave because I have this to go to think about.
It made you feel like... I forgot about the fire when I was at the game. I just felt like we were at another basketball game.
Mm-hmm.
And, hey, and then going home, we have to
we don't have anywhere to go.
Yeah. It hurt.
Surreal, huh?
It was, at the time, it was okay. I mean, you just got to cheer on the boys. It hurt that they lost.
Mm-hmm.
But then going home, it just was like...
Sucker
that push. Going back, that... feeling still doesn't, it's not subsided, it's just still there. It's like, we should be still driving out to our house, but we're not, we're
stopping
in town.
Mm-hmm. So what about the smoke smell? Did it bother you for a long time?
Still does.
Yeah. It's embedded in my nose.
Yeah.
Because going out to feed, you smell that ash.
Yeah. There are still spots that are black in
under
our pasture.
Under the hay bales.
Black.
Yeah. Well, just driving.
And yeah.
There's black in the pasture still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Driving by, I had to go to work on Wednesday morning after the fires, after the fire most recently. And driving that early in the morning, you wouldn't think that it would be settled down, but that is one smell that if I never have to smell that again, I will be happy.
I just remember my nose being burned and my eyes being like from crying, but also the smoke. It's just my whole body felt like you never felt clean unless you were immediately out of the shower and you walk outside and bam, you felt dirty and you had ashes all over you. Ashes were everywhere. And it was a nuisance. And it still is. Because that smell is just like...
still there.
It brings back the memories. Like, smells bring back a lot of memories for me. So
is it important to you to talk to somebody, to be able to go through your feelings and kind of... not maybe relive it, but...
Mm-hmm.
To move on from it, to grow from it?
I honestly think we do a really good job of having that open dialogue amongst us. We'll pick up a conversation, or a thought and just start saying that thought, even though we weren't talking about it earlier or whatever, and just know that we're kind of all on the same page, that we all, can be there for each other.
I just feel that sometimes feel that you guys already know what happened and everything that happened in my perspective because I talked about it so much. So I'm like, I want a friend that won't care. I mean, they care enough to listen, but like, I just need to get it off my chest and tell someone else, like, mm-hmm. my whole entire story,
mm-hmm.
like, every single detail. And
I'm ready to turn the page, my opinion.
Yeah, I think everybody is, but this year, this week, it was just like, you relived it, but you didn't. I mean, you didn't lose anything. There was a fire, but it was still a fire. And yes, luckily they got out soon, but it felt like I was reliving it the whole time. It was like, you felt, with the fire that day, it was like you go to school, just like a normal day of school, and then there's a fire. And it's like that same anxiousness that our town could possibly burn down again.
It'll never totally leave you.
And we had to go through the news. Like, this is, I understand this. This is a good thing that we're talking about it now, but the news reporter, it's sad. I do not like talking. And, I mean, I understand people need to learn about it and that it's good for our sake, but
I think that's what bothered me that week of the game. Is like right after the game, Mr. Wedig, the principal, he like pulled me over and he was talking to the news reporter, and he'd like pull me over and be like, this girl lost her, like, lost property, whatever, in the fire, and like you'd be ended up like put on the spot by just random people. And I mean, I can understand like getting the news out there, and that's one big thing that I did not like, was it was basically a Midwestern incident. Like, you'd go and it wasn't on any like national news channels. Like, this is literally the largest fire they've ever had, and it didn't even make like national news type of thing. And I know that really annoyed me at the time, and it still does. But at the same time, like, when you go back and you talk about it, and it's just like, sometimes it's good and other times it's not. And I think that honestly depends on my attitude of the day. And I don't know how it's...
That bothered me a little bit at first, but after seeing the outpouring of the ranchers and farmers, mm-hmm. and rural people, that was like...
We're our own community.
That was like a non-issue.
Yeah.
It was like, we're going to do this in spite of...
What anybody mm-hmm. else right. knows about us.
Yeah. Exactly.
And we don't care. That's, I think, is...
But at first, it was a little bit disappointing with the federal government response. Or lack of, but once all the semis start pouring in, just people have just said they were going to do something about it. I can't speak for everyone. I forgot about the federal government. I was just like, yeah, this is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is just amazing.
We did, yeah.
So it was in the end, it was better that way, I think, than if just FEMA came in and took over,
mm-hmm.
because it made it seem more intimate. Like, with the people who
right.
do the same thing.
Yeah. Brothers helping brothers.
And not somebody has no idea what your needs are.
Yeah.
Right.
What farming's all about.
Right. Right. What ranching's all about. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so we could go on all night.
Mm-hmm. No, yes.
But do you have any other thoughts about this experience? Some last things you'd like to share?
I would just say that, like you said, once everybody finally gets up off the mat and gets back to normal, let's have a more efficient game plan. And I know that the firefighters already have, we've seen it with this latest test. But as far as individuals, you know, just be more vigilant, more aware of your surroundings when that time of the year comes around. And just like driving through grass and stuff, or being careless, just when you know it's windy and dry out, don't do some of the things that you normally do. Just don't do them, like grinding or welding or whatever. Like, I mean, just if everybody can kind of think that way, there's still going to be stuff. But
hopefully, never that bad.
I was talking to my PE teacher and my science teacher, which is, he's Mr. Sevens, Jesse Sevens. We were talking about it on the day after the 7th, This year? Yeah, this year. And we were talking about it, and, like, he said, I was like, how are you holding up? And he said, well, it takes time. Like, all of the grief and, like, all of everything, it just takes time to go away, and, like, but it'll never, like, officially go away. It just takes time to get it in the back of your mind to where you don't think about it every single day.
So that you can work through it.
Yeah.
And
build a callus over it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Build a callus over it is right.
It's just...
Because it never goes away.
It doesn't go away. And talking about it now, it feels like you're reliving it because those emotions are so strong.
I find that I only want to talk about it with certain people or amongst certain people. I don't want to talk about it just to...
Anybody.
Because
those are such raw emotions that you tell people.
Yeah, you don't.
If I didn't think it wouldn't help anybody, I probably wouldn't talk about it at all. But I feel like if I don't talk about it, some people might not benefit from that information.
Yes. Right.
Not me. I don't like talking about it at all, to be quite honest.
Yeah. Right. So, well, we want to thank you all for sharing your experience with us. So, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.